Tuesday, March 10th. This morning was one of those anticlimactic periods of waiting for the important thing of the day, the departure for Greece this afternoon. At my desk rather aimlessly, and then at 1 o'clock simply goofed off and went with Linda Bird around the White House lawn. Spring is coming, the weather is soft and mild, the sky is blue with fluffy white clouds. We explored the grounds, talked to the gardener, noticed the scilla blooming under the magnolia trees, went past the tennis court and found the trampoline carefully hidden in a surrounding hedge of holly, where Linda Bird bounced up and down as though she was 6 instead of 19. Then we went over into the bowels of the EOB, where there is a bowling alley, and Linda Bird shot 134, while I actually, for the first time that I can remember, broke 100, making a score of 107. Then I came back and dressed for the takeoff, and about 3:45 went down to the diplomatic reception room to greet the Greek delegation there to say goodbye to us. There, too, was my co-chief of this funeral delegation, President Harry S. Truman, with a cane, a Homburg hat, and a big smile, which accompanied him all the way of this 4-day trip, except at the solemn moments of the funeral. As I record this several days later, I must say that being with him those days is one of the big pluses of this period in the presidency for me. It's an insight into history, a joy that a man has lived through so much public rancor and condemnation and has emerged philosophic, salty, completely unembittered, a happy man, and I would say vindicated by history in most of his major decisions. On the lawn, I said goodbye to Lyndon. We got in the helicopter, went to Andrews, and there on Air Force One, I met the rest of the delegation. An interesting lot they were. Young Congressman John Bradamus, his father a Greek immigrant, handsome, successful, one of the brightest young congressmen, Mike Manatos of the White House staff, John Plumides, also a son of a Greek immigrant, with a South Carolina accent as thick as any Southerners I know, successful lawyer, head of a HEPA, hopeful sometimes, I think, to go into politics. And then there was Judge John Pappas of Boston, who had himself come over as an immigrant at about 8 years old. The judge is mostly honorary. He does have a court in which he takes occasional cases, but mostly he's in business and very successful, I gather. He and his brother are putting in a plant in Greece to make pressed boards for construction purposes, a sort of a substitute for wood, which is lacking in Greece. He also spoke of Esso Pappas, which I guess can mean just one thing, and that is a branch of the oil company. But beside President Truman, the most interesting member of the delegation was Archbishop Iavakos, the head of the Greek Orthodox Church for all of North and South America, with about 200,000 parishioners. Dressed in long black clerical garb, with a beautiful religious medallion hanging around his neck, and the black pillbox hat from which flowed long black veils. Apparently, in the manner of all their priests, he was heavily bearded. And it took me a good many miles and hours to discover that behind that beard there was a very handsome man, a man with a sense of humor, a very interesting human being. General Harry Vaughan was along, too, to take care of President Truman, and he kept us laughing all the way. And Clifton Daniel of the New York Times, sort of second on the desk, I gathered, under Turner Catledge, the son-in-law of the president, who was always gently and capably and unobtrusively at his elbow to help. Liz and Helen were with me, and Angie of Robin and Robin Duke, of whom I become more and more fond all the time. By the time we got off the ground after a considerable wait, it was 5 o'clock, so I suggested having a drink, to which President Truman quickly acquiesced. Then I began systematically having a visit first with Plumides, and then Bradamus, and then Pappas, and the Archbishop awed me a little bit, so I insisted on giving him sort of a seat of honor across from President Truman and kept him around most of the time. Presently, I moved over by President Truman on that little bench beside the big chair and began to ask him some questions about what it was like back in 1946 when he instituted the Truman Plan in Greece and Turkey. Here are some of the things he said. It was all the Marshall Plan, just an extension of the same plan that we had had in all the countries of Europe to try to help them recover. It's just that the Greeks, the Jews, and the Irish can holler louder than anybody else, if you've heard more about it than you have about the others. And about his operation of the presidency, he said, get all the information you can, make up your mind, and go ahead, and tell them to go to hell. By them, he meant your inevitable critics and the newspapers. He also said, there is no gratitude for things past. Gratitude is always for what you're going to do for me in the future. I asked him, what is the best thing a wife can do for her husband in the White House? He said, protect him. Don't let people use you. If people bring you some sort of proposition they want you to talk to the president about, it's all right to tell him. But if you have doubts about them, be sure and tell him that. He said, Mrs. Truman always had good judgment, and when she had doubts about people, if he didn't follow her feelings, he usually turned out to regret it later. General Vaughan was one of the delightful surprises of the journey. I think his image is painted by the newspapers has been unfair and incorrect. True, he was funny, and what's the matter with that? At one point, President Truman looked over at him and said, see, he is my funny man. He kept me laughing. He did more for me than anybody else did. I asked him what he'd been doing since he got out of the presidency, and he said, I lecture to young people in high schools and colleges.